We are looking at your theme, as Dr. Anderson gave me, sufficient servants, and I was just thinking of what could I speak to you about this morning, and I thought about Psalms 1, one of my favorite psalms, the entire psalm. I like it, but the first parts of it are very meaningful to me, and the Lord has blessed me with. In fact, it's one of the first passages of Scripture that I memorized was Psalms 1, and I have all the men in our church to memorize it. Because it says, blessed is the man. Now, we understand that, ladies, that that applies to you as well. You are blessed if you follow these truths in the Word of God. But when we think about the life that God has given us and the opportunity to live for Him, we have to consider ourselves as we make this journey of life, and you young ones, as you are journeying on. And I was talking with a young man. I try to witness wherever I am. And so he was telling me about his grandchildren. And so I asked him, I said, how old are you? And he's 50 years old. I said, I have a son older than you. Life brings you through different paths and going different directions, and you have different experiences. I know that some of you are planning on graduating from college. Well, actually, I hope all of you are planning on graduating from college. But some of you are going to graduate and go into some ministry, some full-time ministry, others into vocational or other areas of work. You get a Bible college degree, and you think that, what am I going to do with it? Well, there are tons of things you can do with it. And it's a matter of you, and not a matter of what you have. It's a matter of who you are. But as you go into life, you have to have a good understanding of who you are, and that helps you when you recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. And that, I'm just going to tell you, that makes all the difference in the world. And when you enter into your jobs, you need to understand that as a Christian, wherever you go, whatever you do, it is a ministry. Wherever you go, whatever you do, as a Christian, it is a ministry, no matter what job that you have. Now, when I was 17 years old, I graduated from high school at 17, and I joined the Air Force. This was a long time ago, and they were hiring young people right out of high school. In fact, they came to the school to recruit us to work at the Armory. Good job, by the way, Red River Armory there in Texas, and Lone Star Armory. They made ammo, bullets, and all those kind of things, and they were gearing up for the war that was going on there in Vietnam. And so they, right in high school, they came and gave us the test to work there, and they told my dad, you got to sign for him, 17, to work. And I said, nope, I want to join the military. I want to get away from home. And I told my dad, I said, listen, I said, now, when I go away from home, I'm going to be a man. He said, right. And I says, and as a man, I don't have to go to church anymore if I don't want to. He says, right. Well, it took me, 2 weeks of that drill instructor kicking me in the part of my body I'd never been kicked in before. And they said, does anybody want to go to chapel? I said, me. So I didn't keep that promise to my dad. I found that I wanted to go to chapel just to get some relief. But as a Christian, you need to know that wherever you are, whatever you do, it is a ministry, and you need to carry yourself in such a way. And I was law enforcement for 5 years, combat police officer, and then I went to cross train into air traffic control, and that's how I finished my career as an air traffic controller. And some people asked me, said, well, wasn't that a very tense job? Wasn't it nerve-wracking? And I said, no. I said, it's a matter of how you approach it. And I approached my job as ministry. I wanted to be the very best at what I did. I wanted my uniform to look better than anybody else's. I wanted my shoes to shine better than anybody else's, because I'm there as a minister. And I don't want anybody to say, oh, yeah, you know, Covington, that Christian, doesn't do his job. Look at that uniform. Man, what church does he go to? No, I don't care about what church I go to. I'm caring about what God I serve. And so when you think of that and you think about sufficient servants, you need to realize that as a man or a woman who wants or who desires to serve the Lord, you got to make sure that, first of all, you are in a right relationship with Him. Because you can't serve if you don't know who you are. You just can't. And I've never been confused about who I am. It doesn't matter what anybody else thought that I was. I've not been confused about who I am. And I had purpose in my life always to achieve. But I will tell you this, that when I was 5 years old, I came forward to be baptized. And I did so because my father said so, not because I had a moving of the Holy Spirit in my life. My daddy was the Holy Spirit in my life at that particular time. And when my dad was about 6'1", and he had a real deep voice, and it was a revival meeting, and at a revival in our church there in Texas, all the sinners were brought to the front seats. So all the kids that weren't saved, we sit on the front seats. Two big deacons were at the door. You come in and said, "Are you a sinner or a saint?" "Well, I'm a sinner." "Right, go to the front." I can imagine that happened in the church today. I was just so embarrassed. You know what they did to me in that church? Made me go to the front. No, you went to the front. And so my dad told me, he said, "Son, the man's preaching the right stuff. Time for you to move." So I just waited till he was done. I got up and came forward and got baptized, grew up in the church, knew everything there was to do in the church, but there was no transition of what I was hearing and what I was reading to become a part of my life. And listen, I talked to young people in different, in high school, Christian high school, and in other areas, and I find that a lot of times young people who grow up in church, there's been no real transition from the word to life. That means that you know it, you memorize it, but it's not a part of you. You know, we did Awanas and all that, and my wife homeschooled our daughter, and she had just went over a lesson, they just memorized the scripture, and my daughter did exactly what the scripture said not to do. And my wife said, we just went over that. She said, "Oh, Mom, that's in the Bible." And that's what a lot of people think. It's in the Bible. Well, it's in the Bible for a reason. And it has not changed. It will not change. You say, "Well, this is modern times." Just the other day, one of our young girls, she's 13 now. I mean, I've known her since she was a baby, but now she's 13. And so, you know, when you get to be 13, your peers and so forth and so on, and you know, you got to dress differently, you got to act differently. And I said, "Why?" I said, "What's wrong with being dressing as a Christian young lady and acting like a Christian young lady?" And of course, the answer is, "Well, I won't have any friends." I said, "Yes, you will. You just don't know them yet. You don't know them yet, but they're there. Somebody else wants to be a representative of Christ. Somebody else wants to minister in their life, and they want to serve the Lord, and they want the Lord to be a part of them. But being a part of Him is submitting and surrendering yourself to Him and recognizing that whatever I do, wherever the Lord leads, the Lord is leading. The Lord is leading." Just talking with one young man who was playing the piano there. He's going to have a concert. You guys come, all right? I was trying to recruit him, but anyway, he's already got people pay more money than we can. But anyway, we were just chatting there, and he was just telling about being born in Mali and speaking French, and je ne parle pas français, but I do know how to count. But the thing is that he is learning has already learned to minister. And prayerfully has learned to make those things a part of it, but wherever he goes, he ministers. He ministered to me while he was playing the piano. The song he was playing, I just loved that song that he was playing. In fact, I started to sing it, but I thought he was recording. And then he'd jump up and say, "I'm recording, don't you know that?" So I didn't say anything. But we need to understand that whatever you do, if you're in a grocery store, if you don't get anything, understand that where you walk, if you're saved, the Lord is with you wherever you go. Therefore, he wants you to minister no matter what. No matter what. Even driving down the road when somebody pulls in front of you, cuts you off. You say, "Well, pastors, do you do that all the time?" I have to confess I don't, but I know I need to. Where we live in Roanoke, you come out of one place, there's a three lanes coming out, two left turn lanes, one straight run right turn lane. And so this guy was in front of me, I pulled beside him, he pulled into my lane behind me, blew his horn because he thought I was in his lane. And as we were turning, I did like that. What does that mean? Peace. Yes. I want you to think I'm so godly. I said, "Peace, brother." No, I said, "Two lanes, you dummy, two lanes." But I looked in my rearview mirror and he was going. I said, "Isn't that wonderful when you do right even though you didn't plan on doing right?" But in our scripture he said, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So you need to make sure you are bringing in the right stuff in your life. You need to watch your ear gate and your eye gate. That's what you see and what you hear, because that affects who you are and what you, and your thinking. Be a part of the student body. in this institution leads me to believe that you want to be prepared, and that's a wonderful thing. If you want to serve the Lord, you need to prepare yourself to do that. It does not matter if your job or what you want to do is shining shoes, singing the blues, or telling the good news. You need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. Whatever it is, you need to be prepared. And it should be a part of what you want to do to ministry. If you want to succeed in ministry, you need to recognize, I need to be prepared. You can't be a sufficient servant if you're not prepared to be one. And you got to be mentally prepared and physically prepared. If you are saved, whatever the career you choose, again, is a ministry. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That preparation of getting yourself ready to minister, wherever it is or whatever you're doing, has to come with you recognizing that you need to be metamorphed. You need to be changed to be in the image of God. You mean that means that you can't be your old self. You got to find the in the Word of God what God wants that new self to be, and then get yourself busy being it. I was one time embittered when I was in the military because I got passed over for promotion, and I thought it wasn't right that they passed me over. And the way they did it, it wasn't right that they passed me over. But I decided not to be bitter about it. You have what did Dr. Anderson say? You got a choice. If you say this, I understand. You got it. You have a choice. Because my father told me, don't let what people do to you control how you respond to them. Everybody get that? Yeah. Because you said, you know, like my grandson, he'll trip his sister. Poof. I said, what did you trip your sister for? She pushed me. I said, I'm going to push you if you trip her one more time. And she's bigger than him, but I used to get on her for knocking him down. You know. But he said, well, she did this to me. I said, that doesn't mean you have to respond in that way. You see, as a Christian, you need to guard your response. You need to make sure that you are responding in a way that a Christian ought to respond. You've heard the scripture that says, when the Lord says, you know, get slapped on one cheek, turn the other cheek. And somebody said, well, once you do that twice, I'm going to knock you out. No, that's not what he means. he doesn't mean that. I took martial arts. I said, well, as a Christian, if I don't let him hit me on one cheek, I won't have to let him hit me on the other. It doesn't mean that either. But it is speaking more of not somebody actually striking you, but it is speaking of a backhand. It is speaking of an insult, an insulting slap. Someone insults you, he said, then let him insult you again. You don't get up and take an offense about it. You see, when you are a Christian, you need to guard how you respond. Once my wife, who was going through chemotherapy at the time, we were stationed in Boston, Massachusetts, and we went to the Brighton Marine Hospital, and it was a deplorable, old, ugly place. And I was in a bad mood. And the secretary, who was in this area where they did the chemo, she was the most obnoxious person I'd ever seen. I mean, she's just bad. Even her voice just gurgled me. I know none of you have ever been that way. But anyway, she said something to me, and I went off on her. Now, I didn't use no profanity, but I was rude. And I was loudly rude. And then my wife started crying. You failed. Your wife is crying. Then I said, now look at you ugly thing. How you acting towards these people? Your wife is crying. All these other people are looking. And so I calmed her down. And I got up, I went back up to the secretary's desk. I said, excuse me, I'd like to say something to you. She said, what, Mr. Covington? I said, I apologize to you. I'm sorry for the way I spoke to you. She said, oh, that's all right, Mr. Covington. Probably because people have done the same thing. But I said, no, it's not all right. I said, you did nothing to deserve what I said. And I said it just as loud as I said what else I said. You see, because I wanted to have an opportunity to witness. I messed my opportunity up by my attitude. That's what I mean, you need to bring things under check. If you walk in the council of the ungodly, they say, get them before they get you. Do unto them before they do it unto you. But that's the ungodly counsel. And so I asked her to forgive me, and she said, it's okay. And I went and sat down. My wife was better, and it seemed like the place got brighter. I don't know how to explain that. And then I had an opportunity to witness to a gentleman who was really going through it. And I mean, he was sitting there, his head is down, and he was just by himself. And I said, good evening, sir. I said, it seemed like you're having a tough time. He said, I am. And the Lord just opened the door for me to witness to him. You see, when you respond in the wrong way, your ministry is affected by it, even if you're at the grocery store. Everybody understand? Wherever you are, you want to let the Lord use you. You want to be prepared for that. And so it's important that you pray if you want to be prepared, that you pray before you, as you start your day. God has a higher standard than man. His standard is not man's standard. The men will say, well, listen, just do the very best you can. In the military, they used to say, it's good enough for government work. You may have never heard that. And I always say, what does that mean, good enough for government work? And guys that did things for me, they say, when I was enlisted, they say, hey, Sarge, this is okay. I said, it's not okay. It doesn't meet my standard. You got to meet my standard. Because, you see, I'm in charge of this job. No matter how you guys slop it over, the captain's going to come to me and say, Covington, why does the job look like that? He's not going to come to you. I said, so I want it done the way I want it done. If it's not good enough for me as a Christian to put my name on it, it's not good enough. Whatever you invent in life, listen, young ladies, if the young man is not good enough for you, for the Lord to put a stamp on him, let him pass. Fellas, if she's not good enough for God to put a stamp on her, let her pass. Because you want nothing to affect or to hinder your ministry. Being a part of something is great. But one day, you guys, as you graduate from here, you're going to go out into the community. You're going to be serving. But I want you to know that you're serving already because you're a part of this organization. When you say you are in a store or a shop or with a group of young people, and they say, well, where are you going to school? You say, well, I go to Appalachian Bible. But then you got an ugly face, bad attitude. Don't tell them. Dr. Anderson does not want you to tell them. We used to have bumper stickers we put on our cars from our church. And I said, if you are a bad driver and an ugly driver, take that bumper sticker off your car, all right? I don't want anybody to know that you go to our church. Just keep it a secret if you don't know how to act. So you're being a part of something. You're preparing yourself for a service. Not only being a part of something, you're preparing yourself for service, but when that transformation comes, your conduct, again, is not shaped by the world standard, but God's standard, because your eyes will be on godly standards. Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, setting your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Why? Because you are dead to the things of this world. And your life is hid with Christ, and when Christ hears your life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's wonderful news. But he expects you to do some ministering down here. A lot of people say, well, listen, I want to get a well done when I get to heaven. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't do well, you won't get one. No, you're in the well done line. And there's the Apostle Paul standing there who has done well. He has fought the good fight. And he's looking at you and say, yo, what up with you? You didn't know he spoke like that, did you? And you say, well, listen, sir, I want to done well. I've done well. What did you do well? What do you have to your account? What have you ministered? I pastored in the United Kingdom for almost 10 years and led a man to the Lord. Him and his wife came, baptized him. He got fussed out with another member rather than dealing with it according to Matthew 18. He decided to just leave the church. And years, I went to visit him, talk with him. He never would talk to me. Years went past. I mean, I'm not there anymore. I think probably 8 years, and I'm back in the States, and I get a call. He said, I want to talk to you. He said, listen. He says, I was up in my attic looking in an old dresser drawer, and I got the Bible you gave me when I got saved. And they said, I'm thinking, listen, I have done nothing for the Lord, and he has blessed me. Let me call that preacher and tell him I'm going to get back right with God. I said, wonderful. He said, I'm back at the church. And he said, I'm not going to let any man run me off again. He said, but I got a problem. My son has never gone to church when he says, since he was born. He was born, his parents were in the church. He said, I don't know what to tell him. I said, tell him you are a ding-dong and you got out of God's will and now you want to be in God's will and come and go to church with him. He said, I can't tell him that. I said, you need to, because you were a ding-dong. I said, let me talk to him. I'll tell him. So he got on the phone. I said, hello, son, how are you doing? I said, this is Pastor Covington. You don't know me. I said, but when you were born, I held you in my arms in church, and I dedicated you to the Lord. And I dedicated your parents to bringing you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I said, your father has not done that. But now he realizes it, and I'm just asking you, would you just go to church with him? Will you go with him? He went with him. And the young people that were there just embraced him. Ministry, young people, ministry. Never, they didn't know him. They just embraced him. Welcome. He felt so welcome. He wanted to come back. And he came back, and they were taking the Lord's Supper. His parents got back in church. They were taking the Lord's Supper. And his dad said, son, you can't take this because you don't know the Lord as your Savior. He said, I don't want to leave here until I find out why I can't. And that night he went to the, right after the meeting, he said, Pastor, you need to talk to my son. And he wanted to know why he couldn't take the Lord's Supper. He wanted to know about salvation. He got saved that night. 16 years old. 8 months later, he and a bunch of other kids were going to an outing out on the farm. And his dad let him out, and he went up to the gate. He pulled the handle up for the gate. The other boys were running down. As he pulled the handle up for the gate, he fell down. His dad came and started to try to revive him. They called 911, a 411 for England. The rescue squad got there. His dad was operating on him. The rescue squad took him to the hospital. He was dead. He was dead. His dad called me. He was devastated. He was mad at God. I said, why are you angry with God? He said, well, this is my only son. I said, he had an only son. I said, and I'm not saying that flippantly. I said, I know your heart is broken. Let me just cry with you. Let me just pray with you. I can't tell you why this happened. I don't know. I said, but this one thing I do know, if it had been a year ago, your son would be in hell. But now he's saved. At his funeral, his father did not know this. The entire student body came. The elderly people around their neighborhood came, and they gave testimony. The elderly people said, he came to take out my trash. He came to put my groceries in the house. He came to rake my front garden. The kids said, well, he was so different. He just was telling us how good it was to be saved. The teacher said, man, it was such a change in the kid. His dad's mouth dropped open. He never knew his son was ministering those months. You see, you have no idea who you're going to affect. But you need to know. You don't need to walk in the counsel of the godly. You need to be meditating in the word that you might minister. This world would love for you to forget everything you learned here about the Lord, everything you've learned growing up. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let me tell you something, you're missing a good deal. You're missing a good deal. There's no transformation there. Meditating in the word of God will allow one to be planted by God in fertile, planted by the rivers of water, planted in fertile ground so that you can bear fruit. You know what? If you're not in fertile ground, if there's not enough watering there, you're not going to bear any fruit. The word of God is a similar to water. And when you take it in, when you're metamorphosed, when you become what God wants you to, then things start changing. I was 24 years old when I finally got saved. And I was working in the tower on a midnight shift, and nothing was going on. The Holy Spirit was working in my life. I was just seemed like the Spirit was just squeezing me. And I asked the supervisor, say, hey, I need to go down to the toilet. We had an open tower. That meant there was nothing but one place with the toilet where there was a door and a wall. And I kneeled right there by the toilet. And I said, Lord, my life smells like this place. Yeah. I said, and I don't want this no more. And I gave myself to him. I was on a 3-year mandatory assignment. I've been there 1 year and a half. I said, Father, I need for you to move me from here. 30 days later, I had orders. He moved me to Aguadilla, Puerto Rico. That was nice. Listen, when you get saved, good stuff happens. Amen. I couldn't find a house. There was no hotels, nothing like that. You couldn't bring your family unless you had a place to live. I sent money. They said, I got a place. Emma orders, you got a place. I get there, got no place. And we're staying with my sponsor, who were the kind of people we were before I got saved just a few months before. Party people. My wife said, don't want to be here. She said, you find me somewhere to live. I'm going back to Arkansas. I said, don't want you to leave me. I had a guy who was my interpreter, and he took me to a lady's house, and I found a house that looked empty, and I went up there, and he's blah, blah, blah. He didn't speak as much English as I thought. She didn't know what we were talking about. I said, well, tell him to meet me tomorrow, please, at the house. So she came to meet me. I'm there on the porch. I didn't hire him no more. He wasn't any good. So I stood up, and my Spanish is very, 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 very poor. And so I said, buenos dias, señor. Como esta? That's all I know. And this young man that was with me, he said, man, I thought you spoke English, Spanish. He said, you're just an old jive Spanish speaker. I said, I'm a non-Spanish speaker. That's what I am. He was retired U.S. Army. He said, I heard you out there talking to mama. And I got that house, moved to that house. I was painting that house. Had to walk because I had no car. Everybody would pick you up. They had what's called the publico. The publico is a public car. You go where it goes, not where you go. You pay him a dollar. When he gets to where he's going, you get out, pay somebody else a dollar to go the rest of the way. And so I went out to the road, put my thumb out, paint all over me, and a Volkswagen bus stopped to pick me up. And he said, how are you, young man? I said, fine, sir. He said, I'm Pastor Bill Kaufman. How are you? I said, you're who? I said, where's your church? He said, it's right there. You can't see it for the palm trees. Listen, let me tell you, young people. The only house I could find in Puerto Rico was up the street from a Baptist church. The first car to pick me up, because anybody would, was a Baptist preacher. I don't think it was a coincidence. Believe what you will about it. I came forward in that church, gave my life to Christ in that church, baptized in that church. Just talked to Brother Bill yesterday. He's almost 90 years old. He says, I still remember when you came at 24 years old. Don't wait. Don't wait. My regret is I didn't do it earlier when I was 5. Don't wait. You want to minister? You want to be that man that is living the way the Lord, walking is living the way the Lord wants you to do? Pay attention. Pay attention. Meditate in the Word of God. Get planted in the soil of grace, that fruitful soil, that rich soil. As your life progresses, it may not seem that you are being very successful. You may get frustrated by what you perceive to be a failed procedure, presentation, or life. But if you're in the will of God, let him worry about all the small stuff. Let him take care of all the big stuff. And you just keep pressing on for the Lord. If you want to be a sufficient servant, you better learn how to serve. Learn how to grow. Learn how to build. Learn how to meditate. Learn how to be submissive to the will of God. And I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. Say that with me. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will make a way somehow when beneath the cross you bow. It doesn't matter all of your troubles. He will show you how. When you pray and ask for his guidance, his Spirit will speak to you now, and you won't have to worry about your troubles, 'cause the Lord will make a way somehow.